Good morning. It's good to stand before you once again, having been out of town for the past few weeks. I appreciate the young men who came and preached in my absence, but it's also good to be back with you. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 20, in just a moment we will read together verses 29 through 34. Matthew 20, verse 29 through 34. As you're turning there, as Reggie has already mentioned, we appreciate those who are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. And I hope that our time spent in God's Word this morning will be uplifting and beneficial and helpful to all of us. I will be presenting my Ghana trip review, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. We have several folks out of town today because of Labor Day weekend, and I'm still working on the presentation, so Lord willing, we will do that next Sunday evening. I appreciate the interest that you have given in that. I appreciate the prayers on my behalf, also on the behalf of Mark Mayberry and his travels, and we pray that the Lord's kingdom is spread by these efforts. So I appreciate your concern and prayers. In the scripture reading this morning, Jesus told Saul of Tarsus, or the Apostle Paul, that he would go and open the eyes of those individuals, that they would turn from darkness to light. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to look this morning at the healing of the two blind men in Matthew chapter 20. And Mark tells us that one of them was named Bartimaeus, or son of Timaeus. And when Jesus asked them what they wanted, their request, I believe, is very powerful. That our eyes may be open. When I read that statement, I think about what is going on today. One of the greatest needs for us today is that our eyes would be opened to the truth of God's Word. There's a lot of blindness going on, and I'm not talking about physical blindness, although that is a terrible thing, and there are a large segment of our population, the world population, that suffer from physical blindness. And I certainly feel for them because that plight would definitely be difficult on their lives. But I'm talking this morning about spiritual blindness. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that Jesus would come and open the eyes of the blind. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, Psalm 146, verse 8. Two passages in Isaiah, Isaiah 35 and verse 5 and Isaiah 42 and verse 7, it was said that the Lord's servant or the Lord's anointed would open the eyes of the blind. In addition to other miracles, he would do that. And of course, when we turn to the Gospels and we see the life of Christ, clearly that is fulfilled in his life. There were different occasions in which he opened the eyes of the blind. And when John in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 5 wants to know if Jesus is the Christ, Jesus says, well, you go tell John that the eyes of the blind are opened, the lame are healed, the lepers are cleansed, and so forth. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind. And if you stop and think about this, blindness anytime, anywhere is a terrible situation, but especially in the first century, this is going to be a terrible plight. Today we have, and rightly so, laws, the American Disabilities Act. We have laws that help those with handicaps, but they did not have that in the first century. We're mindful of a person's physical handicaps today, and we work, and rightly so, to help them, but in the first century, they would not have had that. You end up being a poor beggar on the side of a road. Very few people care about you. You're going to be in poverty. You get up each day with little or no hope. You cannot see. Nobody's going to help you. You just do the best you can. You're physically lost. You can lose your way. You're an outcast. You're a second-rate citizen. And you're often shuffled off to the side and ignored. And so we find individuals like that when we come to Matthew chapter 20. But something is going to change for these men. Immediately they're going to be given sight. And their request should be our request today, that our eyes may be opened. It seems like over the past few years that it's been more of an increase in this situation where people are darkened in their understanding. They've been blinded by Satan, as we'll see later in 2 Corinthians 4. Whether you turn on the news or you get your information from your phone, there are various stories on a daily basis of individuals engaged in very dark things. And so I think of this statement that we need today, that our eyes may be opened. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 29, if you'll read together with me there. And as they went out from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them that they should hold their peace, but they cried out the more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I should do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus, being moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and straightway they received their sight and followed him. Of course, Matthew goes on to say that this was right before Jesus comes into Jerusalem. This is less than a week before Jesus goes to the cross. He's on his way to Jerusalem. This happens maybe the Saturday or the Sunday before going to the cross. We find this one last miracle being performed. And when you look at these two individuals in Matthew chapter 20, the parallel account in Mark 10, where Mark tells us that one of them was named Bartimaeus in Luke 18, there are some extraordinary things that come from these two men. And these same things need to be in our life today in a spiritual sense. First of all, notice their interest. In Luke's account, and remember, whenever we're studying in the life of Christ, always try to get the parallel accounts if you can, because they often supply additional information. In Luke 18, we're told that when the multitude was passing by, that Bartimaeus heard it and said, What is this? What is going on? He could have easily just sat there and ignored it. He wanted to know what was going on, so he raised the question, Who is this? What is going on? Our eyes will be opened when we have the right kind of interest. Notice their boldness. The text says they cried out. They cried out. This was something that they wanted. We have to want the light of truth. Notice their belief. The text says that they describe Jesus. The multitude says, well, it's Jesus of Nazareth. But when the blind beggars speak up, they say, Lord, Lord, thou son of David. He's more than just Jesus of Nazareth. They have belief that he's Lord. They have belief that he is the Messiah from the son of David. The son of David, that is showing that of David's lineage, one would sit on his throne. This is a reference, son of David is a reference to his messiahship. Note their petition. They don't say, Could we have some money? They were beggars. They could have asked for money. They didn't ask for money. Notice that they didn't ask for something physical in nature. They asked for what would help the root problem in their life. And that is, I need some sight. I need some light. And one of the greatest petitions and requests today is what we need the most. We don't need more physical stuff. We need light to enlighten us. Note their wisdom. And what I mean by this is simply that they cried out when Jesus was passing by and they had an opportunity to be healed and they believed in Him. Note their wisdom in crying out immediately and asking what is most important. That shows wisdom. They didn't put it off and say, well, we might get around to it later. Jesus might be coming around again later. Their wisdom is seen in acting quickly. Their wisdom is seen in requesting the most important thing that they need, not the peripheral or the secondary or the trivial. Note their determination. I like this in the text. Matthew and Mark and Luke record that the multitude rebuked them. You blind beggars need to be quiet. We don't have time for you. You're making a scene. Hush up. Have you ever been in situations, and I confess I have felt this way a few times, you're in a situation, maybe it's a public gathering of some sort, and somebody is kind of saying or doing something, and you kind of want to slunk down in your seat. Oh, I wish they would be quiet. The text says that the multitude rebuked them, but they cried out the more. You're not going to keep me from getting what I need in my life from Jesus. Notice their determination. Today it's kind of like, well, you know, if I don't have anything better to do, I'll look at the Bible. You know, if I'm bored, I might open up my Bible. But they are determined to get the light in their eyes, and they get it. And Jesus sees that. He's seeing all of this. He knows all of this. Note their faith. In fact, in Mark's account and in Luke's account, we read that Jesus said, "Your faith hath made you whole." He sees an active faith. The crying out, the determination, the belief, the request, all of this has to do with a strong faith. And not only that, but look in Mark's account. I believe that this is very important. In Mark's account, it appears like a side point, but I believe it's actually an important point. In Mark's account, Mark says that Bartimaeus cast off his garment and sprang up and went after Jesus. Now, if you're a blind person and you throw away your garment, and you end up staying blind, you're going to have a hard time finding your garment. I believe this shows the faith of Bartimaeus that I'm about to go to Jesus and I can get from Him what I need. I'm going to throw off my garment. It'll be easy for me to find it later because I'm going to have my eyesight. And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you whole." Brethren and friends, these are the very things that we need today to have spiritual eyesight. Notice their request, that our eyes may be open. I believe that would be a good prayer for us each morning. Lord, open my eyes. As we're going to see later in the lesson, there is so much that we need to be opened to that maybe we don't even realize. Lord, open my eyes today. I think about the psalmist. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things out of Thy law. Because I see over the past few years, especially the darkness and the blinding nature of things going on. And it's sad, and it's sick, and it's sorry. We need to be opened. And then last of all, I want you to notice their commitment. All three accounts say that they followed Jesus. This is one of the last times, right before going to the cross, that we find somebody deciding to follow Jesus. There are followers right up until the last minute. They followed Jesus. This wasn't a matter of my eyes have been opened, now I can... We don't know in the case of these two men how long they've been blind. In John 9, that was from birth. But they might rationalize, well, I got my eyesight. I've always wanted to see the Mediterranean. I'm going to run out there and see the Mediterranean. I've always wanted to see Caesarea Philippi or Caesarea Maritime, the beautiful buildings there that were built. I've always wanted to see this or see that. Nope. They followed Jesus. And just a few days later, He's going to a cross. Notice their commitment. When our eyes are open to the truth, our immediate response would need to be, I'm going to follow that. The reason that there's a need for this today, we learn from the scripture reading, it's because there are so many people that are blinded to the truth. That was our scripture reading, that Jesus wants to send Saul of Tarsus to get these people to turn from their blindness and their darkness. And notice again in the scripture reading something very important there in Acts chapter 26. Notice the connection between darkness and Satan. I'm going to send you, Jesus says, to the Gentiles to open their eyes. Now we're talking about spiritual opening. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light. That's the light of truth. And look at this. From the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. Notice that forgiveness of sins comes when our eyes are opened. Paul will say the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that the God of this world, God, small g, the devil, has blinded the hearts of the unbelieving that the light of the gospel should not dawn upon them. The devil does not want people to have the light of truth of the gospel. And he's using every effort today to make that possible. He's using education and doing quite well with that. He's using the media, whether regular or social, and doing quite well with that. Political leaders, Hollywood figures, sports figures, and he's doing quite well with all of that. HR departments. So we've got to understand that the tactic is going on. And our request for our friends and family and neighbors and ourselves is, Lord, that our eyes may be open. It's in the military. It's everywhere. And we've got to get our eyes open to the truth. And the devil uses hardened hearts. Isaiah chapter 6 is quoted several times in the New Testament. Let's just remind ourselves of one of them in Matthew chapter 13. This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 6, some 700 years before the time of Christ. Even Isaiah prophesies that people's hearts are going to be hardened. And it takes place in the life of Jesus. In Matthew 13 and John 12, and in the life of Paul in Acts 28 and Romans 11. This people's heart is grown gross or thick. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again, and I should heal them. Their eyes are dull of hearing. Wait a minute, I thought eyes were for seeing. I thought ears were for hearing. Jesus and Isaiah mixed those two points into one. We're talking about spiritual perception, spiritual hearing, spiritual seeing. And when we close our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the truth, we're blinded. Sometimes you'll talk with someone, and in these matters that we're about to look at, sometimes this includes even members of the church. You'll be talking with someone about a Bible matter, and you can tell their heart is hardened to that. They've already decided, nope, this is not the way it's going to be. We've got to tell ourselves, I need to be open to the truth. Young people, listen. Sometimes when an older person is talking with you, there's the you want to resist or buck it or push against it. I was like that when I was young. My parents would talk with me about parenting matters and so, yeah. But as I've gotten older, I've realized, you know, they were right. I should have listened more. We get hardened and we get defensive. And that's one way that we're blinded. Another way is through tradition. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus said of the Pharisees who had these traditions that were actually making void the Word of God, they would follow their traditions rather than the Word of God. He says they are the blind leading the blind. Were they religious? Yes. Did they go to the synagogue? Yes. Did they read the law of Moses? Yes. But they were blind. And one thing that did it was the human traditions, the religious traditions, most likely many of them came up during the intertestamental period when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were formed after the time of Ezra and Nehemiah and before the time of Jesus, during the intertestamental period, hundreds of years of tradition after tradition after tradition, they began to follow that rather than the Word of God, and it blinded them to the truth. So we have to be careful today. We find this today. Sometimes when we talk with our religious friends and neighbors, they were raised in such and such church. It's hard for them sometimes to accept the Bible truth on baptism or other things because of just years and years of religious tradition. And even ourselves, we always have to be mindful of that ourselves. Well, in the Church of Christ, we've always done it such and such way. And as was discussed this morning in class, traditions per se are not a problem. The issue is, where is it coming from or who is handing it down? And that was well discussed in class. We won't go over that again. But sometimes man-made traditions are standing in the way to Bible truth. What brother so-and-so has preached before. We have to keep our eyes open to the truth of God's Word. Look in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 16, how many times Jesus called them blind. Blind guides, blind guides, blind guides. They were very religious. But they would not open their eyes to the truth. The traditions blinded them. What they'd been taught in the past was taking precedence over the Word of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. We're seeing this more in our nation today. We're reaping the fruit of what we've been sowing over the past 40 years or so of kicking God out of the schools and kicking God out of the classrooms and kick God out of the courthouse. Take the Ten Commandments down. God forbid that we should have those up there. Let's get God out of our society. And now we're seeing the fruit of it. And Paul mentioned this long ago, that that's what would happen. In Romans chapter 1, in the Gentile world of his day, he says that they refused to have God in their knowledge. And because of that, verse 21, they became vain in their reasonings and in their senseless heart was darkened. You get God out of your life, you're in a dark place. And then you get people leading a nation without God in their life. Then darkness spreads everywhere else. And that, we're seeing that today. They refuse to have God in their knowledge, verse 28. I don't want God. What does that lead to? A senseless heart that is dark. We call it atheism. You could call it secularism, humanism, atheism. Call it what you want. It's, I don't want to have God in my life. And it becomes a dark place. And it affects us and others around us. A sinful lifestyle. Sometimes you'll try to talk with people. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Bob mentioned this morning in class. The lesson this morning goes well with some things that were said in class. But Paul talks about, again, the Gentile world, and he says, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, we just talked about that, being past feeling, I don't care anymore, gave themselves up to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. I'm going to slump into this lifestyle of sin, and I don't want to see the truth. I'm enjoying my pleasure. I'm enjoying my sexual immorality. I'm enjoying my money. I'm enjoying my homosexual lifestyle. And when you come to me with a Bible verse, I don't care anything about that because my sinful lifestyle has hardened me. And it's just another tactic of the devil. But notice this. Maybe something a little bit closer to home. Turn with me to 2 Peter 2. Peter says that even brethren, we as brethren have to be careful. We as brethren have to be careful that we're not blinded when we don't grow. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, we're supposed to add to our faith these things that are mentioned here. Virtue and knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love were to add and grow. And Peter says when we don't do that, for he that lacketh these things is blind, seeing only what is near. We get the word myopia from that. And Don knows about that nearsightedness. We're blind. When we don't grow. Sometimes you'll see that in the church. Sometimes you'll see that with brethren. They're not growing. They're not reading and studying their Bible. They're not volunteering more in the local church. They're not developing and maturing. And when matters come up in the church or in their personal lives, you can tell they're blind. They're spiritually blind. We've got to grow, brethren, in these areas. So that we can have the spiritual eyesight that God wants us to have. You can tell sometimes that men and women that have, quote, been in the church many years, they're spiritually blind. They're blind on certain Bible doctrines. You try to bring up certain matters that, well, I don't want to see that. How they deal with problems, how they function in the church, you can tell that they're spiritually blind. It's because they're not growing. And if you turn with me to 1 John, there are some, John says that hate their brethren. Again, we're talking about members of the church. Some of these passages earlier dealt with things out in the world. Now, Peter and John bring it closer to home in the church where John talks about a member of the church who hates his brother. He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness. Same thing in verse 11 and verse 16. So I don't truly love my brethren. I don't want to talk with them. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to do anything for them. I hear the announcements, but I'm not going to help anybody. We're in darkness. Well, wait a minute. I'm still attending church. Yeah, just like the Pharisees who kept going to the temple. But Jesus said, you're blind. So let's love our brethren. And turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Maybe you know of somebody like this. They're blinded by their riches and their money. Laodicea apparently was a city and a church within it that was physically well off. There were some things about Laodicea where the membership had money, the brethren had money, physical money, but they had become weak spiritually. Verse 17, I am rich. I believe that is talking about physical riches. But they had sin in their lives and they needed to repent, verse 19. And Jesus says, you are blind, verse 17. You are the wretched one and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You're clinging to your money, but you've got sin in your life. And I think about the materialism of the United States. I think about especially coming back from Ghana and seeing the stark contrast between what we have and what they have. And the United States has been blessed materially, and there's nothing wrong with riches in and of themselves. It's what we're doing with them and our attitude toward them and so forth. But there are some who, that's what their life is about. And they're blind. They're blind to the spiritual relationship that they need to have in Christ. And we might just summarize all of this by noticing several times in the New Testament where darkness is mentioned for sin. Darkness. And I think there is a darkness over the land. I think there is a darkness that is invading and pervading various aspects of our culture. And we're seeing things and we're talking about things that we would have never talked about before in our life. When many of us here this morning grew up in America of many years ago, we'd never be talking about where a boy is trying to become a girl and a girl is trying to become a boy. We would never even entertain such a thing. And yet, here we are. So it's darkness. And we've got to make the request daily that our eyes may be open. Many passages speak of sin as darkness, and that Jesus came to be a light in that darkness. John 1:5. But John 3:19, out of all of those places, John 3:19, men love the darkness rather than the light. There's some people that just don't want the light. And God gives you a free will. He's not going to force you and I to come to the light. If we love the darkness, then God will allow us to stay there. So let's come to Jesus. And so let's turn now to the positive aspects that our eyes may be open. Lord, that our eyes may be open to the existence of God. Paul talks about those in whose eyes there is no fear of God. May people have their eyes opened to God. There's evidence for God everywhere. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. There is design. There is creation. There is evidence for God that our eyes may be open to the existence of God. That our eyes may be open to truth. The psalmist praising the Word of God in Psalm 19 says that God's Word is truth and light. It's pure, enlightening the eyes. May we have our Bibles open. May we have our minds open to the things that are in the Word of God. So many people's minds are closed today because of what they're seeing on their phone and everywhere else. And we've got to set that aside and get the truth opened again. Thy Word, John 17:17, is truth, not what's going on in society. And our young people who have gone back to college this semester, you're going to hear things from time to time that are not the truth. And as parents, let's pray that our children, each and every day, as they get their higher education, which I'm all for, that they keep their eyes open
to the truth.
Lord, may our eyes be open to our own faults and our own sins. Someone who needs to be baptized into Christ, maybe even today, that our eyes might be opened, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't need to ignore that. I don't need to blindly turn away from that. I need to be open to my sin that needs to be washed away in the waters of baptism. Or as an erring Christian, I need to come back in some way. One of the hardest things to open our eyes to is our own faults. That takes humility. We might have to confess something. We might have to admit something. And that's difficult. But it's refreshing when we do it and just admit it and say, Lord, cleanse me of that, whether it's in baptism or coming back as an erring Christian to repent and pray for forgiveness. Just be open. That our eyes may be open to opportunities. Opportunities abound everywhere, all around us, every day. Jesus said to his disciples, that should be John 4:35 with the woman at the well. I'm sorry about that. John 4:35. Open your eyes and lift your eyes up and see the harvest. Talking about the people coming. An open door that God had opened in Acts 14:27 to have faith for the Gentiles. Paul talks about open doors in 1 Corinthians 16:9 and 2 Corinthians 12. To open our mouths, Colossians 4:3, to speak with boldness. And the little church there at Philadelphia in Revelation 3:8 to have an open door. Open our eyes to talk with someone about the gospel. They're everywhere. Kroger and Walmart and Publix and any store that we go to, the post office. Lord, open my eyes to opportunities to help someone, to share with someone, to care for someone, to get my eyes open to be a servant. Our culture is conditioning us to be engrossed in our own little world. And Jesus said, lift up your eyes. We got to get our head out of our world. That might be a phone or something else. And get it up and out to see things. We have very little time. We have one life. Let us open our eyes to these grand and glorious opportunities to do the Lord's work. Lord, open our eyes to greater understanding. Turn with me to Luke 24. We have great Bible students here, and we have faithful, godly members of the church here. We have men and women who know their Bibles, and that's great. And as we go through life, we can even have more understanding, like the two on the road to Emmaus when Jesus was talking with them. In verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew Him. And then notice what is said in the next verse. Was not our heart burning within us while He spake to us in the way, while He opened to us the Scriptures? And then verse 45, He opened our minds. Greater understanding, even those of us who have been blessed with time and life to study God's Word, we can have even greater understanding. Lord, open my eyes to give heed and obey. When the Lord opened Lydia's heart, the text says to give heed to the things that were spoken by Paul. There may be someone here this morning that needs to be baptized into Christ. You know the sin that is in your life. And maybe you're even open to that, as we talked about earlier. Yes, I've lied to my parents. And that's a sin. And all liars, Revelation 21:8, are going to burn in that lake of fire. That's the thing that was the thought that was in my mind as a child. But maybe I'm open to that. But am I open now to give heed? That is to get up and obey. Lord, open my eyes to get up and obey. Lord, open my eyes to coming judgment. You see this everywhere. People are just caught up in the things of this life. They're not thinking it is appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. The greatest day that lays ahead. And yes, we have to have our minds on our work and school and family and those types of things, but we have to have a greater perception toward that great coming judgment day. And if we're not right with God, make that right immediately. As we close this morning, I want the request of the two blind men to be our request. And for our children and our grandchildren, that our eyes might be open. We are in a very, very dark world. But we have that light, 2 Peter 1:19, a light shining in a dark place, Peter said. This is going to outshine all that darkness if we let it. We are the enlightened one. The word enlightenment is used for Christians when they first obey. When we taste of the heavenly gift and we are enlightened, Hebrews 6:4 and Hebrews 10:32. You may recall in world history the Enlightenment movement of the 1500s and 1600s, also called the Renaissance. Prior to that, learning was not encouraged, but universities began to be built, Oxford and Cambridge and other universities, and people are learning and people are reading books, and books are being printed with Gutenberg in the 1400s, and now there's learning going on, and it was called the Enlightenment movement. We're moving away from the Dark Ages, 500 to 1500 AD, and now we're in the Enlightenment. How does it come? Reading books and learning. It's the same truth today about getting our Bibles open, and you become the enlightened one. And when we continue to study, Paul writes to Christians, and we'll close on this note, that your hearts may be enlightened. And so as Christians, every sermon and every Bible class and every daily Bible reading, having the eyes of your heart enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. We continue to enlighten ourselves. That's why daily Bible reading is so important, to counteract all the darkness and craziness that is going on. That daily we can have our eyes enlightened to know what God wants for us. What a beautiful story to find two men, blind beggars, shuffled off to the side of society, now with eyes open and following Jesus. And you and I can have that same today, that spiritual enlightenment. If we will come out of that blindness, all those different things that the devil uses to blind us, and come to the light of truth. If we can assist you this morning in doing that, we're going to stand and sing a song of invitation. It asks a question, why not now? Now is the time to do it. There's no reason to put it off. Let us help you to come to that light of truth. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?